I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do.
A display of true forgiveness from an 18-year-old man given to a woman who killed his own brother. And the pathetic, disgraceful, woke Christian crowd is adamantly against it. Stay with us as we look at this and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and I just am so excited about today's show, not for one specific reason. One is because we get to see the beauty of true forgiveness when we see someone literally doing exactly what Jesus calls us to do. I think it's really interesting when we look at a story that recently took place, and praise God that it was really seen by millions and millions of people, a beautiful display of true Christianity, in all honesty. That's what I see this as. I see this as somebody who truly displayed what forgiveness is supposed to look like in the life of a believer and how we are truly to react. And one of the cool things about this story, and I'm going to be going into it, I'm trying not to bury the lead too much here, but I'll be getting into it a little deeper and tell you the scenario that happened behind it. But when I look at this story, when I think about this story, the fact is that this is so obscure. This is so different. It is the antithesis of the woke and liberal culture of today. It is the antithesis of the culture today that is busy looking at 13-year-olds and what they tweeted, or looking at people now in their jobs and trying to get them fired by stuff they tweeted when they were sophomores in high school and things like that, where we have this culture of absolute unforgiveness. But one of the what I wanted to call this episode is something that's actually been on my heart for a while, and it's not going to be an episode entirely on critical race theory but that's something that we will be digging into on the 5:11 News once the studio's up, so that we can get some visuals so you guys can see where some of the tactics start from and why it is so dangerous, this woke theology, this liberal, disgusting, pathetic theology that people get out of this. And I really want to dig into it, but I think it's really good to see the surface of it. So you see some of the fruit of it. And it the best way to describe it is the very display that we got to see when forgiveness was given in a beautiful, true way. Now, I want to give a little bit of background to the clip that we played to start the show, okay? And what happened, what is going on, who is Botham that his brother describes him as. Brant is the young man that is speaking in that clip. Brant Jean or Jean, I'm not really sure how to pronounce either one of those, but he is the one speaking in that short clip that began the show, and I'm going to be playing the entire clip, but I wanted to give a little background because what took place there happened inside of a courtroom, and when a young man, an 18-year-old man by the name of Brant Jean, spoke directly to the very woman who killed his brother and offered her his forgiveness and also told her to repent and turn to Jesus. And so I couldn't find something more beautiful than that. And I want to give a little background to why that was, what was going on there, what the court case was about. And that was on September 6, 2018, off-duty police officer, department patrol officer Amber Geiger entered the Dallas, Texas apartment of Botham Jean and fatally shot him. Geiger said that she had entered the apartment believing it was her own and that she shot Jean believing he was a burglar. the fact that Geiger, a white police officer, shot and killed Gene, an unarmed black man, was initially only charged with manslaughter and resulted in protests and accusation of racial bias. But on October 1st, 2019, Geiger was found guilty of murder. The next day, she received a sentence of 10 years in prison. Now, I'm going to be honest with you on this, and I'm going to go through some comments that we had, some back and forth we had with people on our Facebook page, but I do probably have a little bit, not probably, I have a little bit of a problem with somebody murdering someone and only getting 10 years. If somebody's convicted of a murder, if it's not convicted of manslaughter and convicted of actually murdering someone, I have no idea, and you guys can try to explain to me, you can send me links and explain to me how someone only receives 10 years in prison for murdering another human being. I think I'd like to know, because I think it's hard to find a good excuse for that. But nonetheless, I don't want to switch off of that, because I think it is really important that we do seek justice. And I think that one of the great things, though, we're going to see some forgiveness, and I want to play the clip here in a second, Tony, but I think one of the things here that we need to recognize is seeking justice is a good thing. Seeking forgiveness is even better, right? And it's really tough to look at these situations and just be like, well, this is how it should be, black and white, you know, no pun intended there. But when it comes to every sentence, we don't have a perfect justice system. And ultimately, we know that justice is in the hands of the Lord, and that ultimately he does not have unbalanced scales, that he is a good God. And ultimately, no matter what happens on this earth, he will always make sure that it is properly reprimanded, if not now, in eternity past. And praise God that a lot of our sin and wickedness, the hatred we've had in our heart that Jesus called murder. You may not like that verse, but Jesus called the hatred for your brethren murder. And so recognize how many murderers there truly are in this world. And a lot of times you have to look at yourself in the mirror and to see one. But what I want to do is play this clip, because I believe this is something very powerful. And when you guys think about this, think about what you were doing. Maybe you aren't 18 yet. I know I got some young listeners, but if you are 18 or older, or, you know, think about what you would have done at 18 years old if your brother was murdered by someone. Then think about what you would have done if your brother was murdered by someone of another race that you've been told absolutely hates you. And I know that I believe some pretty damning stuff was found on Amber Geiger in her past, and some of the stuff she said seemed fairly racist. Some of the things that she had said in her past, some things they found in her social media accounts. But I want you to think about that and think about how maybe you would have reacted, and if you can honestly say that you would have reacted in this way. Because I can tell you right now, without a doubt, I have two older brothers, okay? And I don't care if somebody shot my brother and was, red, black, and yellow, black and white, whatever you want to say. I don't care what they looked like. If somebody killed my brother at 18 years old before I came to know Christ, I certainly wouldn't have came up and forgiven them. All right. I know where my heart was at before that, the vengeful, hate-filled heart that I had before I came to Christ. But I want you to listen to this. Listen to his composure. He's having a tough time, but he's making it through. Looking at the woman. Think about this, guys. Looking at the woman who just was convicted of murdering his brother. Tony, play that clip.
I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you, because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Now that was, you know, that was powerful, you know, to hear those words from that young man. And I know that his dad said that he forgave her, and he had a different position than his son when it came to judgment, and says that he thought the punishment did not fit the crime, that she deserved more prison time. And I would actually probably agree more with the dad on that on that side. But my point is, this guy going out there, showing his heart. We actually posted, I made a little image and posted this on our Instagram page. If you're not following us, you should be on Good Fight Ministries. Follow our Instagram page. But I put a picture of him hugging Amber Geiger there. And I said, this is powerful. If you have a problem with this, I doubt you know the Lord. Woke won't save a soul. Jesus will, though. And then in the caption, I said, a beautiful display of forgiveness from this young man. I was brought to tears watching this powerful display of forgiveness from him. Then I had to wake up to the, quote, woke crowd complaining. I think that's all they're good at. Call themselves Christians and complain about this? Pathetic. You can't be woke enough to save your soul, but you can repent of your complaining and grumbling. That'd be awesome. And that's honestly how I feel. I am so sick and tired of this woke crowd. I'm so sick and tired of people explaining to you why you shouldn't look at these things and see the beauty in them. I am absolutely disgusted. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if I've ever been so upset seeing one dumb tweet after another over and over again. I saw this guy calls himself, and he even got a little blue check mark too, Bishop Talbert Swan. And this is what he said. He put a picture of this all going on, and he said, quote, post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Post-traumatic slavery syndrome. And I thought, maybe this is an echo chamber. Maybe he's just talking to himself. But I posted the article as well on our Facebook page. And we had a number of people come up and have a real problem with what Botham's little brother did in forgiving this woman. Okay? And explaining it away as, well, this is just black guilt, that white people have made them feel guilty, and now they just have black guilt. And I couldn't find a more repugnant thing, I really couldn't, than to look at this display of beautiful forgiveness, and you make this honestly about something else. You know, I have to read this verse because I was thinking about it a lot. I was thinking about forgiveness and what Jesus requires of us. And I remember this. When the Lord, when the apostles ask him, when the disciples of Jesus ask him, teach us how to pray. Pray then this way, he says. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And then verse 12, guys, and forgive us our debts or our sins as we have forgiven our debtors or those who sinned against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice something. Jesus then gives commentary on one statement, on one of those stanzas within that prayer, on one of those statements in that prayer Jesus gives, not let me give commentary on how to make God's name holy. Let me give commentary on how to make the kingdom come. Let me give a commentary on how to give us this day our daily bread. Let me give commentary on how to lead us into temptation. No, Jesus says, I'm going to give commentary on one part and one part only. Here's verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Oh, perfect. That ends it. Nope. Let's get worse. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. You unforgiving fake Christians. I'm sorry. I'm not telling you even that Botham's brother had to sit up there and forgive his sister that way. He could have kept it between him and God and him and God alone. But I'm telling you, you wicked, unsaved, unregenerated hearts, okay, that I see typing out comments and statements and, well, we have a different Christianity under this lens of our racial identity. That's what I'm seeing. The separation of Christianity by racial identity. That is so far removed from biblical Christianity. It's so far removed. I was just giving a study on soteriology last night. Literally last night, sitting with quite a few young men and women and going through Ephesians 1 and 2 and showing how now we as Gentiles, lumped up as one, as Gentiles, can receive all the promises, inherit all the goodness, all of the great promises, all of the blessings of inheritance that God promised Israel, that we now receive them. Because what? For what reason? What reason does God give us in the book of Romans all the way from chapter 1 through chapter 11? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, when we read and see that you are saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. If when we read those things and understand that every single person forever, for out, all time, from eternity past, from Adam to now, till the end of time, is saved the same way by grace through faith, we recognize that none of it matters what you were born, and that Acts chapter 17 tells us why you were born there. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 through 29 explains that God made every man from one woman, I mean, from man and woman, one seed, one person for all people. Every single human being from Adam and Eve came. We're all brothers and sisters in that regard in terms of creation, not in terms of whether God is our father or Satan is our father, because 1 John 3 makes a differential, differentiates the two. But that he, through one race, he made man. And then God, it says, placed us in our places of habitation, in the times that we are born. Not just the family, not just the city, not just the state, but even the very time that you were born. And for what purpose? Why would God make you born then? Why would God bring you about at that time, at that place, in that family, under that race? Why? For one reason and one reason only, that you may grope, seek, and find God. It does not matter what race you were born in. It doesn't matter if you're born into an atheist family. It doesn't matter if you're born into a hypocritical Christian family. It doesn't matter if you were born in a family that absolutely loves and adores Jesus Christ. You were placed there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was so that you would seek and find God. It does not matter your circumstance, okay? That's what Jesus does. He changes the circumstances for all people. He invites all to come to repentance. That is the Jesus I serve. That is the Jesus I serve. That we have a gospel that is the power of salvation. And what these woke, disgusting individuals are doing are swiping at and spitting on the grace of God to all people. That is what's going on here. When you have a different gospel for other people, I believe it's Daryl Harrison. I believe he works for Grace to You Ministries, but he said, and he said, I thought that was really interesting on his Twitter feed, and I don't have it right in front of me, but he said, Jesus said, it is finished. And he said, the woke crowd, something along the lines of, well, not just yet. You know, it's not all the way finished. You know, there's some things it's not all the way finished for. And I thought that was a really good point, because that's what it looks like here, that you have to have a special forgiveness and a differential for other people. And you guys think maybe I'm just screaming at this echo chamber, but we had this on our own page. Someone said, I have a problem with the intent of the hug there. Okay, and by the way, just real quick, a caveat, just so you know that not only did Botham's brother come out and ask for a hug, but actually, interestingly enough, the judge, Tammy Kemp, who's also African-American, she drew some controversy because she also came down and hugged Geiger, and she handed her a Bible and told her about John 3:16. And then, of course, Who's worse than the woke crowd? Only one group of people is worse than this. These fake Christians. I'm sorry, that's what you are. All right, only one group of people is worse than this, and that's the Freedom From Religion Foundation. These guys are the only ones that are worse. They're losers. I'm sorry. If you're involved at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, you're a loser, okay? You need Jesus. You need to repent. You're a whining, complaining loser, okay? Anyways, just a quick caveat. But I want to go in, and I'm going to try to go quickly, because I want to get to a clip to show you that not only that you can't go woke enough to save your soul, you can't even go woke enough to keep friends with woke people, okay? And I'm going to prove that through a clip, okay? But somebody wrote into us, and they said, on the post we did about how beautiful this forgiveness, this showing of forgiveness was, and she said, I have a problem with the intent of the hug. Is it motivated by Christ's love or by the need for many minorities to be accepted by the white majority for acceptance? And then we said, do you believe that he thought he needed approval or acceptance? I didn't catch that at all. I do wonder about the leniency in the sentence and what factors led to her receiving only 10 years, but I don't really see the young man believing that he needed her approval. The young man seems quite genuine, forgiving, and loving from our vantage point. And then she said, oh, I had a problem with the judge. The judge hugged her. And I said, I saw the judge hugged her and gave her a Bible. From a Christian perspective, I don't necessarily need to know her motivation. The gesture is clearly biblical. And then someone wrote, yeah, biblical as in wickedness in high places. So somebody literally wrote on our page to us when we said it was biblical for someone to hug someone. Hey, you're being sentenced to prison for 10 years. Granted, I think you should have got more, my personal opinion. But she handed her a Bible and said, go read John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, doesn't matter what you are, okay, whosoever. And I said, quote, you believe, I'm quoting myself, from Good Fight, I said, you believe that hugging someone and giving them a Bible is a practice of, quote, wickedness in high places? That's new. I believe that the devil is a liar, the person said. And remember, Judas hugged and kissed Jesus. I said, how on earth can you equate those two events? I'm all for calling out the fact that the woman went into another man's home, murdered him, and only got 10 years. But I don't understand how anyone could be against this young man's beautiful act of forgiveness. She did not deserve it. Neither do any of us for our sins against God. His act of forgiveness was Christ-like, something plenty of us should envy. To we responded to, I don't see people of non-color embracing the tactic of Christianity. Please, hogwash. Non-colors kill, and people of color forgives. So biblical. And the devil wins another round. People of color are brainwashed and ignorant, going to church, but don't know God at all. For there's a righteous anger with God, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. No dispute. And no, I do not say the young man is wicked. He's misinformed, scripturally speaking. He thinks he's doing what's right. So did the judge. So did the officer. It's the deceived family that should have been embraced and consoled. That's, first of all, it's just so much ridiculous. This unforgiving woman is the one that understands Christianity better. This unforgiving woman says, by the way, remember that she's saying she doesn't think that the judge necessarily was all that wrong. They're just ignorant. Right? But she's the one who takes a verse from Ephesians 6:12, all right, about literally the heavenly realm and the demons, okay? And then equates that to a judge giving someone a Bible and telling them to repent and go read John 3:16, that God so loved the world. That's from Satan? And they're just so ignorant? He's misinformed scripturally speaking? Misinformed scripturally speaking that he forgives and doesn't hate? Should the family be consoled? You're darn right they should. Should the family be loved? Oh, yes. But how do you then just flip the bill and just say, hey, well, they should only have forgiveness. They should only have this. Do you not understand that this all has to do with you not understanding how serious your sin is? That's what this all is. You thinking your sin is not as bad. You thinking, oh, my sin's not that bad. And how dark and disgusting our sin is. How your hate is. Okay, can we point and say that racism is disgusting? Can I look at 1 John 3:15 and say that those who are racist against brethren, guess what? It says there's no life in them. If they hate their brother, they have no eternal life in them. Can we point that out? Can we point that out about that God literally pointed this out in the Good Samaritan? Yes, we can point all these things out. The person then said, by the way, they killed Christ and he was nice too and had a good heart. I said, considering that the same Paul who wrote that we pray for all kings and those in authority would then later be beheaded at the request of the king he told Timothy to pray for, I would still pray for my enemy. They did not kill Christ. And do you know what he said on the cross? Oh, they did kill Christ. And do you know what he said on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's my Savior. Because my Savior has forgiveness. My Savior tells me to love my enemies, okay, and pray for those who persecute me, no matter how wicked. Not only can wokeness not save your soul, I'm going to show you the fire-breathing liberal himself, Piers Morgan. And let me give you a little background, and I only have a short amount of time, especially because the clip's a couple minutes long. But Piers Morgan had a transgender man, okay, a man dressing up as a woman on his show to laud him. Did an entire interview lauding this man who thinks himself a woman about how great that this man is for being a woman, okay? They didn't like how the pronouns were used of him being a boy at birth, even though they're transitioned is transgendered and it doesn't make any sense. But then after the interview, it looked like it went great. They had a great time, I guess, lauding liberalism and disgustingness. But then those same people, that same person, this dude, went home. And I'm guessing the woke crowd of transgenders were not happy with some of the terminology that was used. He didn't stay his course inside of the North Korean version of LGBTQ movement. And so he was really upset. Piers Morgan, like, dude, I brought you on this show. And I want you to hear the clip because he tried to go woke as can be. Have the tranny on and then the tranny will then talk about how great and how wonderful it is to be a tranny. And then you'll be lauded for all this. Oh, that's not the exact reaction he got. So here's what happens. This is him bringing the tranny back on the show.
Rejoins me now. So, Janet, I've got you back on the show because cards on the table. I have spent an infuriating 24 hours, and I want you to explain why I've had to go through this. Because let me start from this premise. I have always been 100% supportive of all gay rights, gay marriage rights, transgender rights. In fact, I want equality for everyone in America and around the world. That's always been my position. Anyone who's watched this show knows that's exactly what I've always stood for. I had you on the show. You had read a powerful book. I did nothing but laud your courage. I said you were a fantastic person to be out there, center stage, selling the message that there's no need to stigmatize transgender people. I called you a woman throughout the interview. I never disputed the fact that you're a woman. And yet today, I have spent literally 12 hours being viciously abused by the transgender community, egged on by your own tweeting last night, that you were somehow very dismayed by the way the interview had gone. Now, I was surprised because you never said anything during the interview to indicate you were remotely dismayed with any of the terminology I was using. At the end of the interview, you were very cordial. We shook hands. You thanked me for the interview. And off you went. And the interview was done 5 days ago. So I ask you, Janet Mock, to explain to me why you didn't say anything during the interview, why you seemed quite happy with it afterwards, why you then felt the need to tweet quite hostile tweets in my direction, which then sparked this furore amongst the transgender community, because I feel pretty peeved about it.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel offended. I think that people in the trans community feel equally as offended. I think that one of the number one things with trans women specifically is that so much of our lives are open to dissection and illegitimacy and investigation. And we're constantly questioned ever since we're very young that who we are is incorrect, wrong, and should be kept secret. And I think that being someone that is very visible in a stigmatized community, you know, I am a trans woman of color. I'm a young woman. And these are issues that I think that we need to give trans people space to tell their own stories. And we should follow the lead of people who are out there and being visible and actually advocating for these rights.
But that's exactly why I had you on the show. That's why I promoted your book. That's why I told everybody to go and read the thing. So I ask you again, why have I been vilified for being transparently supportive of you? I don't get it.
Maybe you don't get it because you're not a trans woman.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I feel bad not feeling bad for Piers Morgan there, but because of the nonsense. And he literally is like, I support you in every way. I brought you onto my nationally televised show so that everyone can be in support of you too. I told everyone to read your book. I did all these things. And you still don't accept me. Why? Because guess what? You cannot go woke enough to save your soul. You can't even go woke enough to save a friendship. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 5:11 News.